Amen. We've been doing a series on the Gospel of John, and we've gone through John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and today I just want to briefly touch with you John chapter 17. These are the last words that Jesus would share with his disciples, with a group of men who were in a way bewildered or maybe concerned, worried why their master was so, sad and why he was sharing with them these last words. If I asked you, what would you do if you only had 24 hours to live? Would you think of taking a vacation? What do you think of going to your bank account and looking at what you have in your bank account? What do you think of mowing the lawn? I think all those things would be put aside and we would probably focus on the people we love. Amen? You would just make time for them. You would probably grab your cell phone or your home line and call. Call children if you have children. Call parents if you have parents. Call cousins if you have cousins. Anybody who is very close, you would just make time to share with that person your last words and tell them, hey, I only have 24 hours, but I want to share this time with you. And Jesus did just that. He took the time to speak to his disciples, to share with them. And not just with the disciples, but also with his heavenly Father. Amen? He shared with his disciples that in moments of crisis, there's nothing like talking to a friend. And praise God, he, Jesus Christ, says in his word that he is our friend. Yes? He shared with his disciples this beautiful prayer found in John chapter 17. And we won't have time to go through the entire chapter. But I want to share with you some things that I understood as I read this prayer. A beautiful prayer that Jesus shared at a moment of crisis, a moment where things were not looking good for him. But in spite of what he knew he had to do, that was give his life for you and for me. Everything that he did it joyfully. Amen? Because he knew he was doing the Father's will. And John chapter 17, we find these beautiful words that begin by saying, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. It's time. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Beautiful conversation Jesus is having here with God the Father. And as I read this prayer, I couldn't but think that God the Father was also praying this prayer with Jesus. It was a conversation. It wasn't just a one-sided conversation like sometimes our prayers are. But I can see God saying yes, amen to this prayer. You see, Jesus and God the Father were one, and they continue to be one. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus came with a specific mission, to give us life. And that life is found in Him, in knowing Him, in having a relationship with Him. Now you're all here sitting down and saying, Pastor Sam, I know all that. Thank you. I've heard it before. Thank you. So what's new? And this is what I believe is new for me as I read this passage. Because unity is not something that comes easy to human beings, does it? We live in a divided world. We live in a divided nation. And sadly to say, we live in a divided church. There are things in this world that bring people together. Anybody here a Padres fan? No, Pastor. Nobody here. Okay, so for those who are Padres fan, woo, they come together. Sports brings people together. Incredible, but just does. Yes? Politics can bring people together. Yes? It divides, but it can also bring people together. Yes? And religion can also bring people together. But it also can divide. Yes? And this is where God has an incredible formula, I believe, that I find in this prayer, where Jesus says, may they be one as you and I are one. Wow, that's a pretty high accomplishment or wish that Jesus has for his disciples. Father, may these 12 right here, and not just these 12, but all those who later on will believe in me, in us, through their word, may they be one. How does that happen? Is it even possible? Maybe with 12, it was, you know, that's a small group. You can get these 12 guys who are just so different from each other, and we're for 3.5 years fighting about who was going to be number one. But can we find something in this prayer that tells us how we can be one? And this is what Jesus shares with us through this beautiful prayer found in verse 4. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. It's rare for Jesus to use these I statements. He was always thinking about us, you, me. Rarely does he talk about himself. But here Jesus uses these I statements where he says, I have glorified you. How did Jesus glorify the Father? By doing the work that God had given him to do. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly that all good things come from above. So if I or you have anything to glory about, we can say, praise God. He provided it. Praise God. He gave me the strength. Praise God. He gave me the wisdom. Praise God. He led me in this very important decision. How can we be united in such a divided world? By giving God the glory. By doing the works that He wants each one of us to do. Jesus asked the Father, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Number 2, verse 6, "I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world." Jesus manifested the name of the Father. In Hebrew culture, your name had to do with who you were. It described your character, described your life experience. Does anybody remember the name that Jacob received? Yes, from his parents. And it was this usurper, yes. This one who would take away, who would try to find a way to wiggle in and get his way. And God came and changed his name to Israel. Yes, he who fights with God and conquers. Or Abraham, the father of many nations. He had no child. What a name. The father of many nations and no child. But did God fulfill his promise? God fulfilled his promise. And Jesus came to reveal us the Father. And what did Jesus tell us about the Father, brothers and sisters? If I asked you, what did Jesus tell us about God the Father? He is love. So do you think Jesus revealed the name of the Father by loving others? Yes? Okay, so this is the second thing that Jesus did. He loved others. He manifested that love through his words, through his actions. Is that something we can do? Can we also reveal the character of the Father? Have we been invited to love one another? And it's interesting that you might think, well, this is pretty obvious. You know, Jesus revealed to his disciples who God is. Are there many people today that don't know who he is? Yes? Are there people today that think they know who he is, but they don't know who God is? I'll share with you a passage here from John 16 and verse 28, where Jesus tells his disciples, "I came forth from the Father, and I have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." Verse 29, his disciples said to him, "See now, you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" Jesus was like astonished. "Wow, now you believe? Great, it's only been 3.5 years. But praise God, you now believe. Wow, I thought I was coming here to the end and no one was going to understand what I was trying to tell them." But Jesus here reveals the character of the Father to his disciples. And if we continue reading on, "Now they have known," verse 7, "Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them." Third thing that Jesus says that he does, he gave the words of the Father. And what did the disciples do? They accepted it. They received the word. They obeyed the word of God. Did Jesus come to abolish the law and the prophets, brothers and sisters? Did Jesus come to change anything written in this holy book? He came to fulfill it. He came to tell his disciples the wonderful message that God has for this world, a message of love, a message of mercy, a message of salvation. And the disciples accepted it. I believe as Jesus was praying this prayer, God was saying, "Amen, Jesus. Yes, you have given me glory. Yes, you have revealed my name. Yes, you have given my words to those who listened to you." And I believe, brothers and sisters, that as a church, as a community, as a nation, as a world, the only way we can be connected to God, the only way we can be connected to each other, is if we give glory to God. If we reveal His name through our life. Yes? God's character of love. If we give the words that we have received from Him to others around us. I believe this can not only transform us, but it will transform those around us. They'll say, "What is it that you guys have? Why do you guys love each other when the world is hating each other? Why?" If we go to the last part of the prayer, because time is running out, I'll invite you to read the whole chapter. It's beautiful. But verse 24 tells us, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am." So it's not just this spiritual unity, but it's also, hey, where I am, I want them to be with me, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus in us, the hope of glory. Jesus in us, and we in Him. Do you believe, brothers and sisters, this could be the formula for unity? Yes? I believe this is the formula. I don't think Jesus just threw it out there saying, "May they be one as we are one and let them figure it out." No. I think He gives us specific things that we as Christians, as God's children, what we could do to bring unity. And not just in our community, not just in our church, but how about unity at home? Amen? Yes? Where we give God the glory. "Wow, I did this great thing." Praise God. He made it happen. Yes? Where we reveal God's character to one another in actions of love. Yes? In being patient with each other. In yielding to the other person, saying, "You first." Is that God's character? He always puts us first. Amen. Others first. And by sharing God's word with those who don't know Him, letting them know, hey, this is God's love letter for you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And I believe, brothers and sisters, in the times that we're living in, if we put these three things into practice, we will experience something this world has never seen. I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to transform us, change us. And the way we could do this is by beholding what Jesus Christ did for us. Amen? And inviting the Holy Spirit to be with us. Today is a high Sabbath. Today is communion Sabbath. And for some of you, you might think, well, what's this table doing up front here? And Jesus invited his disciples to partake of the bread and of the grape juice that would remind his followers the great sacrifice that God did for each human being. Can we say amen to that? He paid an amazing price. In the words of Sister White, all of heaven was poured upon planet Earth through Jesus Christ. The bank accounts of heaven were emptied out. Whoa. So that you and I and anyone who believes could have life and life eternal. What do we do as a church to remember this? We practice foot washing, yes? Where we come and we humble ourselves before God, first of all, and we also humble ourselves before our fellow man. That's what we do. We say, you first. How can I best serve you? Is that something popular? Not in our world. But in heaven, it's the most popular thing to do. It prepares us. Then we partake of the bread and the grape juice. Again, are reminded of an amazing sacrifice that God made so that our sins could be forgiven. Time of reflection, a time to remember, a time to be grateful, amen? To say, thank you, God. Thank you for thinking not just on me, but on my family, my children, my grandchildren, my neighbors. A time to also think, how can I serve you, God? The time that you give me. We don't know if we have 24 hours. I don't know if I have 24 hours. God might give me more. Days, months, years. But whatever time he gives each one of us, may we use it to give him the glory. Amen? May we use it to reflect his character. May we use it to share the amazing message of love found in scriptures. And so, may we be all one as Jesus and the Father are one. Amen.